I appreciate so very much the opportunity that you've given me to come back with you this morning. I had to make some rather sudden plans, and I had another appointment to be at, but some circumstances had arose that I couldn't make that particular appointment, so where'd I come here? So that's the best I could do. If I'm going to go anywhere unannounced, I want to come to Macedonia. And so you're my favorite people. You're a part of me and have been for many, many years. And I trust in a special way that you will be in prayer for this service today. Before we go further, do we have anyone we need to remember in special prayer? Public prayer today. Sister Marlene, we're glad to see you here, and we're always proficient in our prayers toward you and many others. Anybody else that I don't know of?
Sister Carol. I mentioned Sister Carol.
Sister Carol.
Wife. She's knowing that she wanted to be feeling well, but she's in the process right now of being approved for a test procedure that's not approved by FDA, but a new procedure that will insert a new valve into her heart and to replace the aorta valve. And so she's under that review process to see if she will be able to have that done. So.
Thank you, Brother Virgil. We'll certainly be in prayer for that. Might mention also for some of you that might not know it, Elder Mike Rogers, who is pastor at Mount Olive now at Coleman, great friend of mine for many, many years, lost his son just a few days ago in a drowning accident in over near Decatur, Alabama. And I talked to him yesterday, and they interned his body in New Mexico, where they're from, and they just got back. And so without going into a great deal of detail about that, I hope that you will remember the Rogers family. Is there any others? I've known Brother Jonathan for a long time, and I trust that in a special way that he and his wife have come this way today. And I trust the Lord will bless him in a special way. And Brother Jonathan, I sincerely mean that. Thank you very well. Thank you very much. I'll read one scripture to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. One all is not the same as the other all.
Right. That's right.
All that Adam represented died in Adam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All that Christ represented died in Christ.
Right.
And when you begin to study that and rightly divide it, then you'll understand that when Adam died, all his posterity died, all that he represented. Now, it raises its head every once in a while, a doctrine that says, when Christ died, all we gained in Christ was to put us back in the position we were when Adam fell. Well, Primitive Baptists do not believe that.
No.
We believe that we gained more in Christ than we lost in Adam.
Right.
Adam did not die a spiritual death because he wasn't made spiritual. He was made a perfect natural man. But he died to the joys and the fellowship that he had with God. He was never made a fit subject for heaven. But what he was made was a perfect natural. You know what the word Adam means? Man of the red earth. He wasn't made to fit subject for heaven.
That's right.
But what we gained in Christ elevated us far above what we lost in Adam. We didn't have eternal life in Adam, but we had eternal life in Christ. We gained that.
Right.
We gained redemption through the work of Christ. And all the characteristics of salvation that we receive through Christ, when Christ died, he placed us not in the place where we were when we fell in Adam, but what we are and will be in him.
Yeah.
So when that particular doctrine raises its head, you remember this, that some people want unity. Get my terminology now and I'll close. Some people want unity, that is to be associated with some unity or solidarity with others. But there's a difference in unity and union. When we have our communion service, we do that because we are in union one with the other. A lot of folks would like to come here to church this morning and would like the preaching, but want everything else that the reformers want. Let me tell you right now, the church doesn't need to be reformed. Church has no reason to be reformed. They want unity, but not union. And friend, I want to tell you right now, we lost something in Adam. But when it is preached that all we gained back was what we lost in Adam, that is a falsehood. The truth is we gained eternal life, we gained redemption, we gained the new birth, and far above what our minds can imagine, we gained in Christ. Thank God for that wonderful purpose and characteristic that God has given us. And may we ever be mindful of false teachers that would come and dilute the character of God to just a unity with God. I tell you, I got a better story, and that is we have union with God. Will you pray with me just now? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Father, for the graciousness of thy Spirit upon us today, that we may be found worshiping you in what we trust is Spirit and in truth. We love this congregation. We love the union that we have with them. And we trust, Father, that for those who would seek to go their own way, would you, Father, align us with thy word and help us in a wonderful way to continue in those things that are good and right and true according to thy word. Bless those who have been mentioned. Bless Sister Carol and others who will soon have procedures done. Bless this our brother as he comes. And this that we ask for this congregation of people, we ask for all thy church and people wherever they meet together this day. Lead, guide, and direct us. Accept our thanks that it's as well with us as it is. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Well, it is indeed our great pleasure and privilege to get to be with you, good people here at the Macedonia Church, this morning, and in answer to Brother Virgil, I've not ever been to this particular location, but I seem like some 25, 30 years ago I come to Macedonia Church when it was in the old spot, if my memory serves me right, but I've not ever been right here until today. So as my granddaddy Con would say, I'm on strange ground outside, But I'm thankful that I'm not on strange ground when I come in here.
Amen.
You're still singing the same old songs that I've been singing all my life, and your handshake is firm, and your countenance seems to be good. And as soon as I got out of the vehicle this morning, without even looking, I heard a voice that I've heard all my life. And it was a fellow what just come before you. He said he'd known me a while. He's known me since I was a baby, literally. So I know this fellow, Harcrow. He knows me more than even my wife does. So in the essence of years gone by. But I've always thought the world of Elder Ricky Harcrow, and was pleasantly surprised when I heard his voice. I could pick him out of 100 people real quick. But I thought to myself, well, maybe I'm in the wrong spot. Now, I don't think I've lost it yet. I mean, some folks think I have, but that'll be all right. I'll listen to Harcrow this morning. So anyway, it's good to see him. But it's good to see all of you. My good friend Jonathan Claybo, I hadn't seen him in a long time, but I remember staying in his mom and dad's house long, many years ago, and certainly good to see him and all of you folks that don't know me. I'm just a sinner, folks, saved by the grace of God. And just as the old timers have said, I'm just the old country preacher from Alabama, and I know it takes God to preach this morning. And I'll say this, I've been trying it a long time, and I'm still just as scared this morning as I was when I first tried it a long time ago, because I know that I stand in the presence of a bunch of people who know the joyful sound. And if the Lord will come and bless us to have that, it'll get real good. And if that great transaction can be made, then we'll give him all the glory and praise for it this morning. And if for some reason he don't come on the scene pretty quick and get me loose, I'll have sense enough just to quit and let you eat lunch early. How'll that be? Now, I say that, and my wife's sitting there going, yeah, well, probably not. But you know what, here lately, in the last month or two, I've quit early. And I've made sure, I told her I quit early. Now, I don't know when I'm going to quit today. You've got the clock back there, and I'm paying it no attention. What I'm going to try to pay attention to is the Lord Jesus Christ this morning.
Amen.
And if he'll lead, guide, and direct, and bring some thoughts together for us, then we'll try to follow him this morning. This morning, if the Lord be our helper, first off, Brother Harcrow's already set us up very well and told you that in Adam we all died. And we did. We died in Adam. That took place one time in the Garden of Eden when Adam ate of a tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God very clearly told him not to eat of. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he didn't get sick that day, he died. He died, as Harcrow said, to the fellowship with God, his creator. Now, Adam was not some kind of Neanderthal man. He was superior to you and I. Adam was perfect, made in the likeness of God himself. He said, let us make man in our own image. And this man, Adam, he was superior to you and I, but I got news for you. He disobeyed God, and he did it with his eyes wide open. He knew very well what it was going to take place. I believe he knew what the law was, and the law was not to eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So therefore, when he done that, he bankrupted all of us that are sitting here today. In Adam, we all died. We still have that old depraved nature about us. We've still got it today. And it'll be with us till we draw our last breath, that old depraved Adamic nature that gives us trouble, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All those things will eat at us until the day we finally draw our last breath. I've read Psalms too many times, and I think it's Psalms 90, and it says that the promise is 70, but if by reason of strength we make it to 80, there's still what? There's still strength, labor, and sorrow. But I got news for you. Keep reading. Keep reading. It says, but this shall soon be cut off, and we shall fly away. I'm telling you today, my friends, I'm looking for a day when the Lord... Now look, I'm looking for his resurrection. I'm looking for the morning of the resurrection. Have been a long time. I don't know what's going to become to you and me between here and the grave. I do not have a clue of that. But I am telling you that if the Lord will blow the trumpet right now, we'll all shout together in that morning. Because in that morning, all the redeemed will finally, this earthly, this Adam, will be changed and fashioned like unto him. But you and I today, we have a nature about us that is contrary to the Word of God. It's contrary to him, and Adam give it to us when he eat. And we still fight that every day. And when you can understand what you are by nature as a bankrupt sinner, and you are in that shape, when you understand that, and the only way I maintain that you can understand that is the Lord has to do a work on your heart. You have to be born of the Spirit of God. And when you're born of the Spirit of God, and he makes you alive in Jesus Christ, then you take on another nature. You take on an eternal nature It's the hope of glory that lives within our very bosom this morning that causes us to reach out and cry out to God. But I tell you today, my friends, after that transaction takes place, then we've got a warfare that goes on from that day till the moment we die. It's always fighting with each other. When I try to do good, evil is present with me. That's what Paul said, and I can testify with Paul. Now, the word that I have on mind this morning is a word that is too broad and too wide and too long and too high for me. And if the Lord would bless, we could preach hours and days on this word because it is such a magnificent word. And when I say it, somebody in the house, I just know how people are. You're going to say, "Preacher, we've heard that preached a many a time." Well, you fix it. If the Lord bless, you're going to get it one more because it ain't ever been preached out. Yeah. If the Lord would bless for just a little while, I'd like to try to show you the mercy of God. M-E-R-C-Y. Y'all know something about the mercy of God? I tell you, if you're a born-again child of God this morning, you know something about the mercy of God. I'll go even further and to say that He's merciful even unto those that are not born again. He's merciful even unto Satan himself because He allows him to have an existence. How's that for you? But I got news for you. One day that's going to come to an end and Satan will finally be destroyed according to Revelation. But I got news for you. The mercy of God. I like those acronyms when you can put words with words, right? So let's say that M-E-R-C-Y for just a moment is man's eternal redemption, Christ yielded. And I'm going to say yielded in the aspect of ED past tense. I've got a text for it. By one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He did it one time on Calvary. Now, that's mercy. That was man's eternal redemption. Christ, we better put Him in this word of mercy because it's because of Him that we have mercy. Yeah. Christ yielded it, past tense, one time. But now then I'm going to say that it's man's eternal righteous. How's that? I'm going to let you pick. You want it to be righteous or redemption? We got to be both. You had to be redeemed so you can be righteous. Amen. Yeah. All right, so righteous, Christ yields. It's a daily thing. It's not just one time on Calvary. Sure, by one offering He hath perfected. He went to Calvary one time and paid your sin debt. But I got news for you. He was merciful to you before Genesis 1:1. And I can prove that by Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all don't know Ephesians chapter 2 over here at Ephesus Church or Macedonia Church, do you? Everybody knows Ephesians. Let's get it right quick. I could probably quote it, but let's run to Ephesians chapter 2 and everybody knows it. And you hath He quickened, which were what? Dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now here's the verse we need right here, and thank God for verse 4, and the word says, but God. Yeah, you were in a mess in the first three verses now. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. Amen. Now, we understand that for by grace are we saved. Go back and believe that. We've believed that all through the centuries. We believe that because it's the truth. Amen. But what brought that grace about that saves us here in life? I tell you, is the mercy of God. But God, which is what? Rich in mercy. For His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were what? Dead.
Yeah.
In sins hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. That's enough of Ephesians 2. Mercy. Man's eternal redemption. Righteous. Christ yielded. Now we could preach about the eternal side of that. That I maintain that there was mercy extended to an elect family of elect lady, if you will, the bride of Christ, His children, His brethren, His friends. I mean, how many different names do you need to be called by Him? I maintain He elected you, foreordained you, predestinated. No, folks don't like these words in the world that I live in. You know, I know why they don't like them, because it takes man completely out of it.
Yeah.
And we've lived into a society, it's been going on for a while, but it's getting worse all the time, where man's got to have some control. You really need to have some control of your eternal destination. You really need to have to accept and do all these things. I got news for you. If it was left up to us, it was left up to us one time back over yonder in the garden, and Adam made a bad choice, amen? But I tell you, if it had been left up to you and I, we'd still make a bad choice. I thank God today that I can preach, believe, and rest my head tonight on a pillow, knowing that it was not my choice,
right,
that it was by the mercy of Almighty God before Genesis 1. And from time to time, I've felt Him in my life. From time to time, I know that His mercy has been extended to something as bankrupt and sinful and as black and ugly as I am. That when He come by my house,
yeah,
when He come by and said, "Live," He didn't do it because I was looking for Him or begging for Him.
No.
He done it because He already loved me in a blood covenant.
Praise God.
Where mercy was already extended to His family before Genesis 1. And I tell you today, my friends, whether I'm going to quote the old man, whether you believe it, I believe it, if anybody believes it, it's still the truth. I got news for you today, my friends, whether anybody, if you can take the, you can throw it away, whether we ever believe it or nobody else ever believes it. The God of heaven's going to see to it that those that He extended mercy to before the foundation of the world will ever one without the loss of one be housed in glory.
Yeah.
That's what we believe down in Central Alabama. I trust y'all still believe that in North Georgia this morning. If you don't, just tell me and I'll quit and go home now. Oh, that's good. I can preach the rest of the time on how that good that is. But I'm a little bit more concerned this morning with that man's eternal redemption or righteous Christ yields in the aspect of its ongoing. That His mercy after, yes, He done it one time on Calvary, legal transaction between God the Father and God the Son. And on Calvary's cross, He did not offer, He didn't make a way. He is the way. He didn't offer Himself to you on Calvary. You weren't the offended party. You're the one that offended God. He offered Himself to who? To God the Father. Oh, and praise God this morning, God the Father accepted that blood sacrifice of His own dear Son. We know He accepted it because our Master, our Lord, our King, He got up 3 days and three nights, conquering death, hell, and the grave. We still preach the glorious resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ. It's still the day. Today's the day the Lord arose. Oh, bless your heart today. It's still the grandest old story that has ever been told to sinners who stand in need,
yeah,
of Jesus today. Is He got up? All your little G gods that you have erected in your mind and on your pedestals, all those little G gods, they can't feel, they can't help, they can't come to your rescue. Oh, they don't have hands to move. They don't have hearts to fill you with. They're all dead. All your little G-gods are dead. And you've got some. We've all got a little of it in us. Oh, we all have. Whether it's football, soccer, golf, fishing, you name it. I still like to hear hounds run. God bless me, amen.
Yeah.
Papa says you like my boys going here, dogs bark all night.
Yeah.
I still like that every once in a while. If I could get a hold of a good hound again, I'd really think God bless me. But bless your heart, I don't let that stand in the way. I try not to let that stand in the way of my duty and my obligation towards the one who's extended mercy to me. Oh my goodness, not only one time in a blood covenant, one only on Calvary's tree, but not only in my new birth, but has extended mercy to me oh so many times in my life that I can't count it all up. When I began to try to think about the mercies, where He snatched me out of this or out of that, where He put up a wall and blocked the enemy from coming in. When I look around and I see all in distress, I see a world that don't know where she's going or what she's doing, but yet some way, somehow, I and my family and the folks that I associate with have peace in this whole troublesome world. I tell you, that's some of God's mercies be extended in this time world. I think maybe that may be the reason the old prophet in Lamentations 3, y'all know that book, surely you do. And I could probably again quote it, but I'll make sure I get it right. I guess Lamentations still in this book somewhere. Some of my favorite here now. The old prophet says it this way. Oh, this is good. This I recall to my mind. 3:21 where I am. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope.
Yeah.
All right, listen to me. Listen to me, children. Oh, I'm so thankful. I've been hearing about Macedonia Church at White, Georgia. I've been hearing about you for a long time. Oh, your dearly beloved pastor who's departed us. Oh, he loved you so much. And He'd love to talk about the children at Macedonia Church.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to get to see them this morning.
Amen.
Oh, you little children, listen to me. Mercy's been extended to you. You, the youngest one in the house, little boy, little girl, mercy's been extended to you. But there's a difference between you and your mama and daddy. And there's a difference between you and your grandmama and granddaddy. Oh, mercy had been extended to me when I was a little boy. With no heartthrob meaning when I was just a little boy. But I didn't know anything about that mercy at that time. I'm not telling you I didn't love the Lord, because I don't really remember the time that I started loving Him. I really don't. Some people get up and tell you about a time that they knew something about loving Him. I've loved Him all my life as far as I know. I don't really remember. I can't give you any experience. If you put a gun to my head and say I have to pick a time when I was born again, I can't do it, Jonathan. I can't do it. But I'm going to tell you this, in the course of 47 years on this earth, I look back through being married. And listen, when you pray for the preacher, you ought to pray for the preacher's wife. Amen, amen. That's right. She has to put up with me all the time. But when I look back at how good He's been to me, with that little woman and two children, a mom and daddy who taught me to love the Lord.
Yeah.
Even in the death of my dear sweet mama, 2 years ago, I look back on it and I see mercy after mercy.
Yeah.
For by His mercy we're still here. This I recall, therefore I have hope. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it this way. As these children, you moms and dads, should teach these children to be looking for the mercies of God and explain to them that the Lord brought us through this. He's seen us through it. And we praise Him for it. No matter what's going on, no matter how bad it is, He's still extending mercy. For without His mercies, I'm fixing to get my text, Ricky. Without His mercies, we're consumed without them.
Yeah.
But I tell you today, if you'll teach those children to be looking for the mercies of God when they get your age and when they get old, oh, they look back and they'd say, I recall.
Yeah.
I can recall some things, therefore I have hope. I tell you today, my friends, oh, Harcrow can recall better than me because he's older than me. Are you with me? But I'm telling you right now, I can recall better than my children can recall. I've got, can y'all believe Audrey's 19, Harcrow? Can you believe Audrey's 19? Can you believe JT's 18? Marlene, that ain't possible. I remember when they come home from the hospital. My JT's done fell in love with a woman and got married. Oh my gosh, Harcrow. Yeah, Marlene, my peanut. Done hauled on, got woohoo.
Yeah.
I tell you what, y'all, some of these little boys and girls get married at 18, you'll need some mercy.
Yeah.
I wasn't planning on that when he was 8 on the baseball field. You hear me?
Yeah.
This summer I've needed some great mercy in my life. Yes, I've never doubted the eternal salvation that God rendered through Jesus Christ to me. I never doubt that. I'm sure it's fixed in this man named Jesus. Yeah. Oh, bless your heart, whether I forget. And even if my mind goes bad and I end up crazy and don't even know who my sweet wife is in days to come, thank God we have a foundation of God that stands as sure the Lord knoweth them that are His.
Yeah.
Hey, man. That mercy will still be extended even if I lose my mind. My grandmama Blakely lost her mind. She didn't know who I was the last time I seen her. Thank God, the God of heaven who had extended mercy to her hadn't forgot her. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we believe. That's right. It's called security of the saints this morning.
Yeah.
Because where does it stand? It stands in Jesus. But listen, that's all well and good. But this summer, I wasn't too concerned about that back in the spring when Peanut tells me, as soon as I get out of high school, Daddy, I want to marry this girl. Now, I'm going to tell you more than I knew. Whoo, heartbroken. Oh, I know. Y'all sitting there, you mom and dad got these little children. I don't ever do that. God bless you. I'm going to tell you what, it took a whole lot of mercy from Daddy not to have a fit. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, y'all don't look at me like a calf looking in a new gate. Wait till your little boy at 18 says you want to get married. I mean, really, I thought he ought to wait until he's at least 30. All I do now is beg the God of glory, Jonathan, that it's right and they love each other like Mama and Papa Blakely loved each other.
Yep.
You understand?
Exactly.
This I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of, watch it now, it is of the Lord's mercies. Now I'm on the word mercy. I meant to tell you this, I got to hurry. You look it up in your Strong's when you get home, M-E-R-C-Y. You'll find that particular word, and I'm not talking about mercies. I'm not talking about merciful, just the word mercy. You'll find it in the Old Testament for 204 times. You'll find it in the New Testament 54 times. I'm going to tell you what, I am convinced this morning that if anything is in the book that much, we probably ought to pay attention to it.
That's it.
All right, let me give you one more right quick while I'm on my numbers. And I'm going to get to him in just a minute. There's a king over there who's a man after God's own heart, who was an adulterer and a murderer. He was so many things, but yet he was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
The great King David. He knew something about the mercy of God after all he lived through. Because when I read the Psalms, have you read them lately? The word mercy itself, M-E-R-C-Y, not mercies, not merciful, just that word mercy, is in there over 100 times.
Yeah.
You believe that David experienced something of the mercy of God? I know he did.
Yep.
All right, let me get my text and I'll go get David, and I've got to close with a widow woman, and maybe I'll close with you. So you just hold on a minute. It is of the Lord's mercies, plural. That's plural. So you need more than one, amen? That we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Oh, listen to this last statement now. They are new. What's new? His mercies are new every morning.
That's right.
Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm telling you on the authority of God's book in that scripture. And what I feel right now with the Lord, I'm telling you, his mercies never run out.
That's it.
This subject, I told you in the beginning, is too broad for me, too wide for me, too high for me, and too deep for me. There's a thing over there that's talked about in Exodus and Leviticus. It's talked about quite a bit. It's called the mercy seat. Everybody, every old Baptist preacher I ever know would love to preach about the mercy seat. That's some of our favorite preaching. I've studied and I've read. I've talked to these preachers about it. I talked to my friend David Guthrie about it so many times. Oh, how I miss him. Oh, how I miss my buddy calling me from time to time just to check on me. You know what real friendship is? Hear me this morning now. I stand in line at his wake. There's another preacher in front of me. I'll not call these names. Boy, I had a countenance come all over me of sadness. Tears come to my eyes, and this preacher in front of me, and you'd know him if I called his name. Said, Brother John, you taking this rough? I said, he was my friend. He was my friend. This preacher said to me, he said, well, Brother Jonathan, I'm your friend. I didn't rebuke him, Marlene, but I thought to myself, how many times have you called me in a year just to check on me? He hadn't. Still hadn't. He would. Your former pastor, Brother David Guthrie, would. He called this old crazy fella. You know why David Guthrie could put up with me? Because he could preach. He wasn't scared of me, amen? And he'd come to Central Alabama anytime I called him. He showed me, listen, watch the word. He showed me great mercy in this life.
Yeah.
We want to show each other mercy in this life. Now, we'll never be able to extend to each other the mercy of God. No, no. But we can love each other better than what we're already doing. Amen?
Amen.
I guarantee you, why should we love each other? What did the Lord say? He says, they'll know that you're my disciples. Why? Because you love one another. You love one another. Now listen to me. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm too plain, I'm too rough, and I know it. You ain't got to ever invite me back. I'm going to go home. And I'm going to love you the same. But anybody that says I love you all the time don't mean much to me. You know what real love is? It's a showing, Jonathan Claybo. He can tell his wife every time he hangs up the phone, I love you, Hannah, I love you, I love you. But if he don't show her, the words are cheap. Amen?
That's right.
I'd rather somebody show me they love me. It means a whole lot more.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that girl ironing this white shirt I've got on. It's her taking care of me and keeping me clean and making sure I do right most of the time. There's love that is called love in action. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Well, that love in action will extend something called mercy. A lot of times we do things out of mercy, amen? You know why you extend mercy? Because mercy has been extended to you.
Yeah.
And when you have understood that it took great mercy to be extended to you to get you out of the shape that Adam put us in, and as Harcrow has plainly told you this morning, not just bring you back to the level where Adam was. Oh, but this mercy was so great that then grace comes along and elevates us, as this preacher's already told us, to something that Adam didn't have, that Adam couldn't do for you. Oh, it extends us beyond this veil of tears. Amen? Okay, now let's get something right quick. Let's go over here. I don't know. I'll give you that right quick. And then I'm going to get that little woman. Psalms 51. Y'all all know Psalm 51. David in his repented prayer, what did he say? Oh, and that's another thing. My old friend Arthur Lee Beckett, some of you might have known him. I know these preachers did. Old brother Arthur Lee Beckett, bald-headed old man. I love that old man much as anybody on earth. And he used to always say, and the preachers still pray it this way. Oh, they always pray it this way. We all pray it this way. Well, how do we pray when we pray? We pray what? We pray, Lord, have what? Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on us. I've never heard, and thank God I hadn't, I've never heard any of our people ever say, Lord, we beg you for justice.
Yeah.
Lord, we pray that you'll give us what we deserve. Lord God, I'm thankful today. I ain't never heard none of our folks pray that. We don't go to pray and asking the Lord for justice or judgment or what we deserve. What do we pray? We pray, Lord, have mercy on us. Now, I'm bad to say this when you ask me how I'm doing. I'm bad to tell folks. I do it with you at church. I do it with folks in the world. How you doing today? I'm bad to say this. I'm bad to say better than I deserve. And y'all all testify to that this morning.
Yes.
Come on now. Can't you testify this morning that you're doing better than you deserve? I said that 2 weeks in Sam's Club, Montgomery, Alabama, as I was pushing my buggy. You know, you go by the hearing aid place and the glasses place, and the nurse is standing there speaking to everybody. And she said, well, how are you today? I said, well, better than I deserve. Now listen, I get a lot of responses to that. Now anybody that's a good born-again child of the King and knows something about what they deserve by nature and what we've been given through the blood of Jesus, they'll say, I agree, me too. And then some of them kind of laugh at you and go, I don't know about that, you know. I mean, you get lots of responses. But she gave me one, Marlene, that day I never got before, and I'm still praying over this. She said, how you doing? I said, better than I deserve. And listen to this. She said, well, that's not good. I don't even know what she meant. I still ain't got that figured out. That's not good, so you want me to get... Maybe she thinks I need to get what I deserve. If I got what I deserve, I promise you it would not be good.
Yeah.
Because what Jonathan deserves is hell in the long run. Yeah, that's what we all deserve in Adam. That's right. Let's be honest about it.
That's right.
That's what we deserve in Adam. Then if you take the eternal side out of it, or let's fix this all for glory and eternal mercies extended. But what if we had no mercy in this time world? What if we really got just what we deserve here in time? What a mess we'd be in, would we not? All y'all up here in White, Georgia, y'all all good little boys and girls, and y'all all live these perfect, righteous lives. You can tell somebody that that'll believe it, because I don't. I know what you are. I've looked at sinners all my life, because I am one. I've been looking in the mirror. Today, sitting here, being able to sit in this comfortable building where the air conditioner's on, in peace, begging God to come out of glory and condescend to our low estate this morning, is only by His mercy. That's right. Now, I know what He said, and He'll keep His promise. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst. I'm going to take Him at His word, aren't you?
Yep.
But I'm going to tell you today, my friends, you had to come, and there had to be something within inside of you to cause you to want to. Like what David say? He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy what? He didn't say, according to my good works, I promise you. He said, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy, watch this, the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Oh my goodness alive. How many times have we prayed that? Lord, be good to me. Because of what? Because of thy multiple tender mercies that I need. I got to get my little woman over here, and I'll try to show you in it. The Lord will bless for just a moment, and I'll try to close. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Everybody knows this, don't you? 2 Kings 4. Y'all remember that widow woman? All right, I'm going to read a little to you, and then I'm going to try to bring it to reality for you right here real quick. 2 Kings 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. Watch this now. Now she just told the prophet. She went and saw the man of God about it. And she's giving him some resume here. My husband's dead, and you know he feared the Lord. That's good, right? Watch this though. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Do you hear what? Y'all see what's happening? This little widow woman, her husband has died. He feared the Lord. But he's died on her. Left her with two boys. And she hadn't got nothing to pay. She owed. Her husband owed a debt. And the creditor, the debtor has come to collect. She hadn't got nothing to pay with. So the debtor says, I'll take your two boys as payment. Now that's what I just read here. Boy, you talk about a fearful thing now. Your husband dies and you both owe some money, and you hadn't got no way of paying it. And the man that you owe comes to your house to take your children away and make bondmen out of them. Wouldn't that be a fearful thing?
It would.
My goodness alive. I'm going to tell you, if that was going on, I owe a lot, I know I do. Maybe I can keep paying off all my debts best I can. But if I couldn't pay it, and the debt collector showed up at my house wanting my Audrey and JT, I'm going to tell you what. There'd be a fear come over me. Wouldn't there be a fear come over you? There'd be a fear come over me. Notice who she went to, though. She didn't run to the beautician at the barber shop to talk to her about it or him about it. Mm-mm. She went and talked to the man of God about it. I'm going to tell you today, my friends, I'd recommend that for you and I today. Now, these men are just men. I know that. We don't believe in a priesthood as in the Catholic Church does. I know that. But there's nothing wrong with calling a preacher and asking what I ought to do about something. Try to get some good sound advice. I've done it many times. Had to. I was a boy preacher all my life till I've got older. But I still have to call these men and go, what should I do? How should I handle something? Try to get some wisdom on a case. You understand?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, it'd be all right if you called a preacher and asked him what I ought to do with this. I'm in a mess. Now watch what the preacher says. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? Now listen to what she's got in her house now. And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house. Sounds to me like it's empty, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
She's got a house, but she ain't got nothing in it. Save a pot of oil.
Yeah.
Save a pot of oil, that's all she's got. Now watch this. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when he says borrow not a few, that means get all you can. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Get all you can. Get a bunch of them. Now, can you imagine what's going through her mind? Now, I've witnessed the prophet. I've told him what the problem is, and all I've got is this vessel oil. And he said, you and your boys, y'all go get all the vessels you can. Don't just get a few, get a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And when thou art come in, now then he said, go borrow all the vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door there and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. All right, now follow what's happened. I want you to see this. They went out in the community and they borrowed all these vessels. Now, I'm going to say they didn't all look alike. How would that be? I'm trying to show you the church. I'm trying to show you in this is what I'm trying to do. They were different sizes, amen?
Yeah.
Some a little wider, some a little skinnier, some a little taller, some a little shorter. Y'all see these vessels?
Yeah.
She's got this one vessel of oil, and one son comes by and she pours in his. He goes over there and puts it in the corner. Another one comes by, pours in it, puts it in the corner. Remember, they got plenty of room to set these vessels of oil, don't they? Because they didn't have nothing in the house, no way.
That's right.
They're destitute. You and I have, I'm going to say, I don't know that anybody in the house has ever been as destitute as this woman was right at this point. They got plenty of room to put all this oil with these vessels. Now, what are you going to do with all that oil? We're going to get that in the next verse, but you need to get this verse right here. The last statement's the greatest statement of all of this. It says, and the oil stayed. She had it in one. It went out throughout the whole house. And I maintain when she filled up every vessel that her boys went and got, she still had just as much oil as she did when she started. Do y'all see it yet? It's the mercy of God.
Amen.
You know how much mercy you've got today? Just as much as you had yesterday. You know how much you'll have tomorrow? Just as much as you got today. Because His mercies are new every morning. Bless your heart. That's the reason you can't measure it. It's too broad. It's too wide. It's too high. It's too low. That mercy seat, I didn't get it all finished. That mercy seat, I've studied it and I've asked my brethren about it. I can tell you how long it was and how wide it was because it covered the Ark of the Covenant. It covered it with outstretched arms of the cherubims. And I've studied and I've looked and I've asked lots of preachers. Read Gill's commentaries and Pink's and everybody else's. Nobody can tell me how thick that lid was. How thick was the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat that covered it? How thick was that thing? Don't know. I ain't got a clue. I think there's a reason that we don't have a clue. I think there's a reason God left that measurement out. It's the mercy seat of God. It represents the mercy of God. How high is it? How low is it? Low enough to come to you. And wide enough to see in you all your days through your life to this present moment. And will see you to your dying day. And then be sure it'll get you out of the grave in the morning of the resurrection. Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, bless your heart. This mercy is good. Now, what's she going to do with all that oil? And the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt. Watch this now. And live thou and thy children of the rest. She's not dead. That's pretty good, ain't it? We got enough oil in this house. We're going to pay off the debt so the guy can't take her sons as bondmen. And now she's going to have enough oil in the rest of those vessels that her and her sons can live on it. That's pretty sweet, ain't it?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you so it is with the mercy of God today, my friends.
Amen.
Oh, bless your heart. The debt was paid on Calvary's cross. And bless your heart. Not only has He come to give us life, but He's given us life more abundant. Oh, bless your heart. The debt was paid on Calvary, your sin debt. But He has extended mercy all the days of our life till we breathe our last. Amen. Let's go get it right quick. I close right here. Show you in it. Romans chapter 9. Everybody knows Romans 9. Sure we do. Romans 9 is as good as it gets. Oh, yeah. It tells me over here in Romans 9. For the scripture saith what? It says that He'll have mercy on whom He will have mercy. And He'll have compassion on whom He will have compassion. Oh, that's good, ain't it? I like that. I'm thankful from time to time that I've felt the compassion and mercy of an almighty, thrice holy God in glory, that it still extends mercy to something as messy as I am, as corrupt as I am. I've made such a mess out of so many things in my life. Thank God His mercy comes along and takes care of it. Amen. Gets me out of it. Sure, I have to repent. You need to. We all need a good repentance session from time to time. I'd recommend it for you right now. Get down this evening on the side of your bed and beg God to forgive you, not because of what you've done, but for His righteous mercy to forgive you. That's the only place he can forgive you is in Jesus. All right, notice what it says now. Let's come to 21. Hath not the potter. Oh, y'all know about a potter and a power over the clay and the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and the other unto the dishonor. What if God, watch this now, what if God willing show his wrath to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Thank God we're not in that crowd. Amen?
Amen.
We don't want to be in that verse. Let me show you the verse we do want to be in right here. Here's the verse that we're in, and it ain't because of your good looks or your winning ways and all your happiness. You're in it because of the mercy of God. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels, that's plural, ain't it?
That's right.
Vessels of mercy, right, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Yeah. Bless your heart, I believe you're one of those vessels. Remember those vessels that woman had her boys go out and get? It's all different sizes and shapes. Ain't none of us in here just alike, amen? We're all different sizes and shapes, tall, wide, short, big, whatever. Here we sit, those vessels. Oh, bless your heart, we're one of those vessels of mercy. That the mercy of God's been extended to and afore prepared unto glory. Those riches of glory. Oh my goodness, now I've heard a man preach all my life, and he'd say it this way. He'd say that the God of glory is very lenient with his grace, but he's mighty stingy with his glory. I've quoted him all over the Southeast for saying that. That's true. God's going to have his glory. Well, this says that we have some glory about it. The riches of his glory been extended to those vessels of mercy. Now let's go get one more. Back up one chapter to Romans 8 and 18. Listen to the old Southern apostle talk right here now. That's right. He was of the tribe of Judah or Benjamin down there. So he is a Southern tribe. That's right, I'm a great Southerner. Y'all all Confederates, aren't you? Listen to him talk. 8:18. For I reckon, that's good Southern talk. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Whatever you go through, you hear me? Whatever you go through between now and grave. Whatever you go through. Your children break your heart. Your moms die, your dads die. Husbands, wives, children die. That's the worst of it all, in my opinion. JT getting married, I thought was pretty bad, but thank God he's still alive. Amen. I've still got him. Amen. Ain't nobody wants to lose a child. My grandmother Sue lost her red-headed daughter. Papa lost his wife. I lost Mama. Bad, isn't it? Death is bad. No matter what we go through in this life, and you children, y'all don't know about the bumps and bruises of real life yet. And thank God children don't know about it. Amen.
Right.
These little children don't need to know about all the heartaches of real life yet. Let them be little kids. It's good for them. They're going to come a time when they'll have to be adults. If time stands. And while they're young, when you need to be teaching them about the great mercies and grace of God. That you intend and pray for and expect to stay with them. No matter how long time stands. Because Psalms 136 has 26 verses in it. And old David closes every one of those verses with that his mercy endureth forever.
Yeah.
I'm going to take David at his word, ain't you?
That's right.
It'll extend to you and it'll extend to your children and your grandchildren. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. I like that, don't you?
Yeah.
No matter how bad it is, it ain't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
I don't deserve a bit of that glory. Do you? You don't, and I don't. But you know why we're going to get it? Because you're going to be blood washed in his blood. And bless your heart, that old black ugly color we was without him, we have been made white. Oh, and we're going to wear a white robe that day without spot and without blemish. And bless your heart, as beautiful as any bride is ever comes through that door right there. She's the prettiest woman on that day. I know that. But I got news for you. The bride of Christ meeting her husband. The bride, the elect lady, the Lamb's wife, meeting her husband in glory one sweet day with a white dress on. Oh, that I guarantee you, no spot, no blemish. Oh, bless your heart. You talk about a glorious thing. And you know why you'll have some of that glory? It ain't because you've done one thing right or one thing good. It's because Jesus Christ has extended it to you in His great mercy wherewith He loved us. Oh, bless your heart today. I'm glad His mercy saved me on Calvary. I'm glad it was extended in the new birth. But I'm even more thankful today that His mercy endureth forever. And that'll reach right now. It'll reach this afternoon. And no matter what you're facing next week, next month, days to come, this church, even the pastor, I know you are. I trust you're praying over it. I believe you are. I believe you're praying over it.
Yep.
I believe you're praying. That's good. Keep praying. And keep begging God to send mercy. Send mercy. That the man of God, that some man will be burdened. I'm sorry. I was praying for old men like these two men. We still believe God working on both ends of the line. If the God of heaven will burden a man and He burdens you with that man, I believe it'll work out. Amen.
Yeah.
I got news for you. I had no intentions of ever leaving Gallon, Alabama. None whatsoever. It's where I was born and raised. I wasn't leaving. Ask that woman. Told her I wasn't leaving, Marlene. 20 years ago, I told her I wasn't leaving. Woohoo! The God of glory went to working. Amen. She only mentioned it one time. I got a sweet praying wife. She just mentions things one time. Then she starts talking to one who's got more power than her. She went to pray. I've been down there 20 years. Where 20 years ago? I don't know, but it's gone. I thank God today that the Lord works on both ends of the line. And I'm praying He extends mercy to this congregation and to you.
Yeah.
And that He still works on both ends of the line. So let's pray and let's thank Him for His mercy.
Amen.
Every day of our life. May the Lord bless you.
God bless you, brother.
Sir.